Welcome to the Hostile Zone.
Use your voice, the naughty hears you.
Welcome to the Hostile Zone, where facts are weapons and justice doesn't flinch. I'm Eric Andrew Sinati. Eric A. Sinati, who?
Eric Sinati, of course.
Right here on the Hostile Zone, on your iHeart dial, your FM dial, many TVs across the country, and all of your favorite podcast platforms, where we pull back that curtain on waste, fraud, abuse of yours and my public dollars, and government corruption. Tonight's episode is about a silent crisis, one that exposes the cracks in our system and shows the cracks, really bigger than cracks, gaps, where the system leaves people behind and let them fall through. In every disaster, whether it be floods, wildfires, terror attacks, disabled Americans are always abandoned. And you don't even hear people talking about it. So we're going to talk about that. There's no planning. There's no evacuation plans that we see happening, maybe after the fact. But at that moment, there's no planning for that. They don't announce this on the news. There's no medical mobilization. Nobody's responding specifically to help people who are disabled. It's just not happening. And there's clearly no enforcement, civil enforcement on these issues. So, but our guest tonight has never stayed silent. He speaks and speaks with power and poise. Darren Aquino is a 9/11 responder and survivor. He is a civil rights firebrand as the national chief advocate of the ADA Advocates, Americans with Disabilities Advocates. And he spent more than four decades taking on the system, whether it be from the SSA, Social Security Administration, to the VA, filing federal ADA complaints and winning justice for so many of the forgotten. This isn't just advocacy, it's a war. And tonight, we're going to go on the front lines with Darren and learn more. But I would be remiss if I did not say, joining me, as always, is the elegant storm in stilettos. Stilettos, I said that right, Stilettos, herself, my co-host, and the personification of the unshakable grace under fire, Miss Bianca C. S. E. A. like the ocean.
Bianca C., that's me. Hello, everyone.
Welcome to the show, Miss Bianca. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me again.
Good. Now I can finish the intro on you.
Absolutely.
She doesn't chase attention. She commands it. Oh. Right? You command that attention. She doesn't just follow the trends. She tries to reset the tone and something proper. And when she speaks with elegance. And it's not always soft. It comes hard-hitting, but that's the way it is. It's her strategy, and it's a winning strategy. Oh. So we welcome you back, and hopefully ready to be on the battlefield today with our guests and talk about a very important issue to so many Americans. And it's an issue that we don't really hear talked about much, disabled people. So very big. So as always, the relevant, famous quote of the day.
And what's the quote of the day?
Justice will not be served until those who are unaffected are as outraged as those who are affected.
Who is that from?
Let me repeat it one more time for the folks. Justice is not to be served until those who are unaffected are as outraged as those who are affected. Benjamin Franklin.
Oh.
So basically, folks, if you're not a disabled person or don't have a family member that's disabled, then you really don't know that you should be outraged. You don't know what it's like. And our guest today is going to bring that to you. So we're going to be moving into him in a second here.
Okay.
So Atlas, is our guest standing by in the green room?
Yes, he is.
Let's bring Darren Aquino in. Welcome, Darren.
Hello, Darren.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
Hi,
how are you?
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. You are Well, obviously you and I are friends, so we have a relationship outside of here. So I guess I'm going to have you take 30 seconds and just intro yourself, because I already know you, but the folks may not. Although you've been on previous episodes, I want to make sure they know who you are for this episode.
Well, I'm Darren Aquino. I'm the CEO and founder of the only policing civil rights first responding organization, Advocates for Disabled Americans, Veterans, Police, Firemen, and Families. It has a subdivision that was just, it's been in the waiting since COVID, since 2020. And now we launched it on July 4th. It is ADA Civil Enforcement Oversight Division. Under the We the People of the Constitution, it's a 501c4, and it has other protections. It does have nonprofit status.
501c4, for the folks out there that are not sure, that is a federal designation with tax-exempt government dollars. Okay.
That's correct.
I got that out there. Keep going.
That's correct. And we made this division because there is no, as you were saying in the intro, and you know this, Eric, because we were talking about it. You're well aware of everything in the planning. It's in the sheriff's office now. It's in the House of Representatives. It's sitting with Senator Rick Scott, because disabled are overlooked. I mean, not as everybody would think. So what I do, and finishing the intro, what I do is I am the voice for the voiceless, because they've been unlistened to for too long. At the very beginning, I was a lobbyist for the ADA. I started with President Ronald Reagan, and he helped me for 6 years. And when ADA was just Advocates for Disabled Americans. And for those 6 years, until I made it a national nonprofit, police officers, you know, my brother's a cop, my two nephews are cops, my future son-in-law is a cop, my other son-in-law's brother's a firefighter. So, I mean, I'm a New York guy, and, you know, I started it in New York. And the thing that's not there, which you've seen in the COVID murders, that's right, you heard me, COVID murders. Elected actors put infected individuals into nursing homes with vulnerable underlying conditions that resulted in death. So these are the things I fight. That will never happen again with the new subdivision, because it has the right to lobby and to secure those funds to build what we want across the country through the Sheriff's Department, right. ADA rapid response.
Right. And it's much needed.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Much
so
needed,
that's going to bring us into our first segment here. So we're going to talk about the new rapid response division and how you're fighting for the forgotten. So with that, my question is to you to start off is you launched a new rapid response division under the ADA Advocates with an S. Because we typed it in wrong previously. I corrected that. That gap does fill in and does fill in what's needed. But why has the federal government failed all along to get this going before somebody like you had to really push them to make it happen?
Well, they assume that our first responders, which are, listen, they're very well and capable, courageous men, as are veterans, as you know. Right. We go into the fire. There's nothing to think about. But what they don't think of is if they show up at a nursing home, the vehicles to evacuate them with are for everyday undisabled folks. So if you show up to a nursing home and you got 40 quadriplegic, how are you going to evacuate them? What are you going to use? We designed the bus. I designed other vehicles, oversized vehicles, oversized helicopters. If in the event, an evacuation in Florida, what do we have most of? Hurricanes.
Right.
I designed airboats that can take two stretchers and six wheelchairs. Airboats. Right. Now, later, as you know, you're going to put those pictures up. Right now, they're sitting with the sheriff's office. And, you know, to do these things, then we have to train them. We have to train them in rapid response about ADA, because the general protocol, when the laws were established, right? The ADA was enacted in July 17, 1990. I helped lobby for that, and I was there that year in November. Bush invited me with 10 disabled folks. So what they're never ready for, the fact that they show up, our first responders, they show up because that's what they do. they're ready to take care of if you just become sick. Right. They're not ready to go pick up quadriplegics, right. bedridden people.
Okay, and how about mentally challenged people that you can't even communicate with them? Say, hey, I'm trying to help you.
Stabilizing a mentally challenged folk when, you know, if their condition's exacerbated and they've become violently and they're, you know, there's the procedures that they take usually winds up in a lawsuit against the first responders or the police department
right.
because they're not qualified. That's not their job. But right. because government pushback, they make them do it.
Right.
And that's how it violates the rights of disabled. It doesn't put a service in place that caters to that disability specifically.
Like so, a standard operating procedure, SOP, in place.
You
for
can't
this.
Do that. Because it's not.
I would say everybody charged with a jurisdiction, the incident commander, the IC, under FEMA, Federal Emergency Management,
right.
That incident commander position is a very important position. They should know all of these locations in their community who have nursing homes and rehabilitation facilities. And I want to circle one other piece that's not in my notes, but it hit me right now. Remember back in the day, and I've been on the volunteer fire department my whole life on different departments where I moved.
Right.
But remember the find a child sticker, top sticker in the window? Years ago, that was a thing. And you shine the lights on the window of a home, and you had the top finder, and they were free. They gave them out, and you put the top finder sticker in the window of the bedroom the child is in.
Right.
They didn't have something for a handicap either. That would be a great thing to have a sticker
that
like that.
That would be a great thing.
And I noticed that top finder sticker has not been something I've seen a lot recently either. It seems like the children on the milk carton just kind of stopped.
Well, with the ADA rapid response, and you know this, and I'm going to say it here, and we don't have to worry because all rights are reserved. It is a intellectual property already sent in to the House of Congress as an intellectual property. What we're going to have is a database of everybody in the range of the local sheriff's department. They'll be dispatched by the sheriff's department, but regularly. Now, with the database, it will know every registered disabled person. That will be done securely, privately, and only ADA will know because right. of mm-hmm. the right of HIPAA. See, there's a lot of things that go into it because... Right. You know, this goes from soup to nuts of civil rights that brings true equality to people with disabilities that treat you like an able person, but with all of, we'll call it all of the trimmings
services
for a disabled person that needs that privacy, the right. If a person can't speak for themselves, we'll be ready with rapid response, and it will be secure with Social Security and our database. The regular local sheriff doesn't get that information.
The VA one. Yeah.
Nobody gets it. We have it.
It's a HIPAA issue, right?
Privately, and most things, you know, so that there's no release. We're going to.
You know what I find fascinating, Darren, is with that I mean, as somebody who is certified and qualified to be a incident commander at the senior level, having gone through that training and certification, I know that we have as an incident commander, and I've been the incident commander on the ground at a major incident before that helped me get this certification. And one of the things we, as an incident commander, we appoint a liaison to everything. Yet I don't ever remember hearing anything about what you're talking about. There should be a liaison reporting to the incident commander of nursing homes in an area and all that. I think that would be something that should be looked in the national framework.
In 1998, I sued the court system because they denied me access and then retaliated against me because I sued the judge. So the federal court in a settlement told me, and the judge, it was Judge Rena Radji. She sits on the Second Circuit now, but during my time, she was district court judge. I sued the courts to have an ADA rep. Now that went in 1999, we settled that case. But today, they're just still trickling down in all the courts. That was part of my settlement to have an ADA rep. And the judge was on my side because this was ridiculous. They used to make me wait from 9 o'clock on a time certain, which you know as a lawyer, time certain means that's when you're seeing.
Yeah.
To spite me, they kept me there till 6 o'clock, no place to sit. I had to steal in my leg.
Wearing you
no
down.
Place.
Wearing you so, down.
So, you know, that. So, but you see, they know it's there. They have a duty to uphold it. Now we under the Constitution, the Articles and the separation powers, we have the right to petition government. This is that petition.
This is your right to redress.
They killed Grandma and Grandpa, Cuomo and de Blasio. They sent sick people to benefit themselves in politics and took the lives and violated their rights under Title II that resulted in murder, which, according to the
Act, was a lot of people
charged with manslaughter because that's right. What they did. They knowingly put sick people, and the CDC said, don't let these people come in contact with vulnerable people. And they did. And Grandma, over 200,000 people died in Jersey, New York, California, all in blue states, took out Grandma and Grandpa. So, I mean, this will never happen again. And the good thing about it is they can't push me out. It's an intellectual property. It's a federal crime if they steal it and use it. They can't. So, I mean, now we're taking control of what they dropped the ball on. Right. So on a rapid response, if you show up. Now, we got the greatest sheriff in Florida, Sheriff Kevin Rambos. He's the best, and he's so out there, and he's so into the community. But we're talking about money. Just to start it in the county, we're talking $30 million.
Yeah, we're talking ungodly numbers. Ms. Bianca's got
to put in the vehicles. But
Ms. Bianca's got a question for you.
Here's the benefit. With the additional vehicles, if they're not, or the neighboring county needs it when there's no disabled there, or maybe there's just a couple. Okay, but Florida's the retirement state, so you got a lot of vulnerable here. Okay,
right. Mm-hmm.
But if they're not, the vehicles I designed, like the bus that I sent you, you got the command center and you got the evacu bus with the lights on it. The chairs come out and we could strap in wheelchairs.
Yeah, you don't even got to take them out, right? It's a one-time move.
Right.
So if we don't have that need for that, then half of the bus, and we use it, and it works with
you can still transport regular people, want you. You know,
that's
I don't
right.
Regular,
so they have extra vehicles. They're better equipped because what they don't count in society, and the numbers aren't right, because the census, you got Down syndrome, autism, you got other physical anomalies, you got other mental illnesses. There's over 170 million. Joe Biden broadcasted 175 million. And all throughout the years, they're saying 70 million. It's 175 million. Right. And the number grows every day because Down syndrome, autistic children,
it's not stopping.
And other anomalies of disabilities are born every single day.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I'm okay? Darren.
And nobody's counting, but I've been watching this. And now with this new ADA oversight, gives, you know, I got 43 years of learning and burning the bridges that were in my way to give freedom and equality to the voiceless. So now they're not going to do that anymore.
Right.
And this will protect, and we have the right under the Constitution, under the 10th Amendment, the 14th Amendment, the 8th Amendment. You know, we are ready. And this, listen, even under the 5th Amendment, deemed denied due process in courts, Eric, you know it.
Right.
I mean, if you don't get that judge, they do what you want. I'm suing a judge now. I'm suing his estate with a bond claim. They are arrogant. They work for us. We don't work for them.
Right. That's a key point.
Yes, absolutely. Darren, I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
You've called out FEMA and DHS for ignoring the disabled in disaster zones.
Yes.
What does it say about our priorities that no system currently exists for real-time evacuation or care?
They don't have real-time for disabled. Here's why. If that was so, when the nursing homes happened, where was DOJ? Why didn't they dispatch investigators? We created an investigator. We got soup to nuts. Regular law enforcement, the same itinerary for regular law enforcement has been designed by me for disabled. Because... let me give you a good one. As a mother, a disabled foster child is being abused. Could she cry out or he cry out for help? They can't, can they?
No, they can't. No.
So by definition...
That's part of the problem. You don't know if it's a real cry or just a baby crying.
But you see...
Autistic person, ACS, same thing. Right.
Sending people from ACS is not good enough. You have to send policing officers...
When
to
you say ACS, you mean like the Child Protective Services.
Child Protective Services, that's a...
Depending on where you're from, different names.
CPS.
I know from New York. A DIFAS. ACS, right. New York, right. No matter where you are,
so
but
when it comes
CPS,
to that,
Child Protective Service.
In 2000, just before 9/11, I invited Bush. The governor was there. George Pataki sent somebody. I had some other people there, actors from the show I was on while I was working on SVU. I had 150 disabled foster children that were celebrating Memorial Day, because where's their right to celebrate? There is no right. age on our Constitution.
Right.
Freedom
right.
is for all and not for some.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the things. Now, when you go from the smallest child, and here's where the ADA protects children. And I've said this to lawyers, and they looked at me and said, you know, I never thought of it that way. I said, mm-hmm. well, that's because you're not a good lawyer.
Right.
But here's the reality. What is a disability to the audience? A disability defined by the Supreme Court after decades, an effect of a major life activity.
Right.
Seeing, standing, walking, breathing, thinking, bending, stretching. Those are major life activities. And when those are affected, it's an affected area that deems you limited. And
right.
that defines your disability. So let us say an infant, even if they're born healthy, they're disabled by definition of the law.
They're not able to take it. They're disabled without somebody doing something.
A 10-year-old is disabled by definition of the law. So now this puts a whole new strategy to our organization and what I've been fighting. We had a lot of people plagiarize me, try and mimic me, but now they have to stop because I had right of use for the last 43 years. Nobody could use my name. Nobody. Because it's just right of use. It's our copyright law. It's protecting one's interest. But
right.
what I started for our community. As a disabled veteran, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You have a right. You have a right to be treated with the
national
respect
dignity.
They give you
dignity. When it is dignity. You know, treat people with dignity and with respect. I mean, yeah, I'm with
right.
you. I'm with you. So,
you know, afterwards, what I've learned with the first ones, they came to me to get them their benefits. I mean, I had a detective who served his community and lost his leg from the work and stress and cancer, and detectives get bad insurance. Cops kill themselves with PTSD and they don't get paid. No benefit. PTSD is recognized. I fought for it. And
right.
it's right in the Holmes book. It's right in the DOJ handbook. Why don't cops get the insurance? Well, we're going to change that too. And I've been saying right. this from 2016 when I went to de Blasio. I said, listen, this needs to change. That's a disability.
Right.
So it's a mental, it falls into the mental effect. But you know what? The actors that we elect are not enforcing the true power.
Right. And you know what? Just to emphasize, and we got to move on to the next segment. But
of course,
like you said, good lawyer. First thing that runs to my head is the 14th Amendment, equal application of the law and of the document of the U.S. Constitution to everybody.
Right.
And with
equal
the new woke culture, and we're so inclusive to gender transformation and so inclusive for race and have to have and represent everybody, yet nobody's representing this area too well.
You beat up a black man, you get arrested. It's a hate,
hate crime.
You beat up a gay man, it's a hate crime. You beat up a disabled person, nobody shows up.
Right.
That's horrible.
Right. It is
so
very
with,
horrible.
No, you make a very valid point there. So for the folks out there, you walked away from the mayor race to be mayor of New York City.
I did.
And my question is, you were in a serious race for the mayor of New York City.
I was.
Then you walked away.
The second
what drove
time,
that
the
decision?
The second time I was in.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. What drove you to walk away at this point?
After Adams was off the hook for all the corruption, as you could see, his whole administration crumbled. The only
still
good
coming
guy
out. I heard
was,
yesterday.
The only good guy was the commissioner. I know Eddie Gaban. He was a good cop. My nephew was helping my nephew when he signed up. He was an inspector. And I had no, Eric Adams asked me to help him 2 years before because he was a moderate, not a bad guy. He's not a bad guy. He's just not a good mayor. So, you know, he just doesn't have those leadership skills. When they get into that high profile place, they will want to be sure.
Everybody forgets.
They want the money, the power, the prestige. This
right.
comes with a job description.
Right.
And the last time you seen that was Rudy Giuliani. But I walked away because they dropped the ball on him with the DOJ. And I said, this will be a corrupt race. I had my cousin was going to give me a few million dollars. That's the creator of Arizona Ice Tea. I could back you up, because I said, and then in January 28th, I said, I'm stepping out because I'm not going to make good money and other people get behind me and throw that money. And the Democrats are going to steal it. They've, you know, they steal elections. And every state controls their own election. It's not right. on a national thing. They all do it.
Yeah.
You know, and seeing what I've seen working here in Florida and on the committee and when I was active in politics, that's how the organization, if it wasn't for Reagan right. and then the Bushes, both helped me, both Bushes. Clinton was okay. Hillary treated me better than Bill and offered to help because she believed in what I was doing. There were those, listen, in all of their positions, who wants to hurt disabled people?
Yeah, I can't imagine. I don't even know how that's a partisan issue.
Something must be wrong with you if you hurt a disabled person.
Yeah, how is that a partisan issue? I mean, that should be, that's a human decision, a human issue.
That's how I give credit to Hillary. She said, whatever you need, give down, send them a grant forms, whatever, you know, and back in the early days before all of the horrible scandal. She always took a liking to me. There's pictures on the poster with me. I told her, we need a picture with Bill. She said, I'll take care of that. Bill, get over here. He snapped her fingers on, and that's the, on the poster where he jumped. Okay, Hillary.
And I think everybody all along the way believed that that's how it worked on every issue.
Well, listen, I mean, yeah, it's tragic what's going on. Look, at, you know what's bad? These people were our elected representatives. And the state of our country, the COVID was the show all of politics when they took the lives of America's grandma and grandpa. And in some cases, mom and dad. Well, in all cases, mom and dad.
Right.
Okay. You don't get to be a grandmother unless you're a mother.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. You don't get to be grandpa unless right. you're a dad. So, I mean, so when you think of that and the CDC put out the one, CDC's. We're going to be like the CDC for disabled. We're going to be a subsidiary.
So like the Center for Disease Control. Okay,
that's
that makes
right.
sense.
We're going to be the Center for Oversight and Civil Rights Enforcement of the Disabled. And with everything I wrote up, and you've seen it, Eric, and it's all submitted. Yeah. It's all done. We just got to add one more thing for the IRS, for the financial stuff. But right. everything else, I mean, for the lobbying, we filed that form. That's the 501c4. Because we can petition Congress, because we have the right to petition government.
They have the right to petition
for the papers. The reason this enforcement has erected itself from the mother parent company was because of the nursing home murders. I'm calling right. it what it is. People want to say, oh, that was politics. Was it or was it murder? Was it politics trying to go after Donald Trump and letting failure so they can say it's on his watch? Not true. That was a deliberate political move that amounts to, as a lawyer, that's manslaughter at the least. Manslaughter.
And they all suffer
Cuomo
politically
and
from
De Blasio
it.
De Blasio should be charged. If I would have got elected, I would have went after them.
Right.
I would have went after them and I would have created the Civil Rights Division there because, you know, I was been a mayor. But now we did it privately and I structured it and it was, this is the birth because of that.
Right.
That was the last straw.
No, it definitely
they
gives
them take care of the elderly. Like. Imagine what they do. Listen, you don't hear of all the stories. You don't hear of the children.
No, they don't. Yeah, they don't.
Care being abused. So I went out, and they never let me do it again because when I did the display of 150 foster children, that showed them that when these holidays come, nobody, they don't get to celebrate. They're held captive in a foster home at no fault of their own because right. of the problem with their parent that may be disabled.
Right. Don't go anywhere, folks. The hostile zone coming right back after you when we get this.
Let me introduce you to Acorns. This app makes investing as simple as one easy swipe of your credit or debit card. With Acorns, every purchase you make rounds up and invests the difference. Watch your future grow one swipe at a time. Start small, dream big. With Acorns, every bit adds up to something significant. Download Acorns today. Acorns.com/share or use your smartphone camera and scan the QR code on the screen or enter my referral code 56XJQPC. Again, referral code 56XJQPC and get $5 for free compliments of me to start investing today just by downloading the app. Download Acorns now. I'm Eric A. Sinati, the host of the syndicated radio TV talk show, The Hostile Zone, right here on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back. Thank you for that short message, commercial. Darren, are we good technically now?
I think so.
All right, good. Okay. We had a little technical glitch. We had to go to a commercial, but we're good. So we left it with Bianca's question asking you about what doors and decisions over politics does that hold, you know, about setting precedent?
Say the question.
You want to read it again, Bianca?
Yeah, sure. Okay, Darren, some would say walking away from power is weakness, but in your case, it feels like purpose took precedence. What doors did that decision open the politics never could?
Well, politics played a role depending who was in office. Mm. It was people that helped me in office. And, of course, my own initiatives. If you remain silent, you get nothing. So I was the squeaky wheel. Like even when who said that to me? One of the producers on the show I was on Law and Order Special Victims, Peter Leto, said, Darren, what you did for disabled actors today, you the squeaky wheel that gets the oil. We just never thought about it. It's not that like we don't care.
Right.
You know, we asked for bodies. We didn't ask for specific bodies. I said, because you didn't know. It was the other person's job, the union, to make you know. So the doors that did open is from the people I spoke to in entertainment. Now you see people on television with one leg, but you didn't see it back in early 2000. You didn't see it. The union wasn't protecting them. I fought the union. They put a diversity committee. I resigned from that committee because it's not enforcing the right to work of inclusion of union actors. They, just to give an example, and we're going to get them. I'm going to get them with this new committee. You see, they hire, if they do 100 people or 50 people on a show, on a TV show, right, or 100 or 50, 25 have to be union. I'm saying 5 of them have to be disabled, 25%. So some people, oh, we can't tell you. Oh, yes, you can do that. It's equal protection. You're right. Saying to your union members with disability, you matter. So, you know, I fought individual shows, and because I did that, casting agents like Grant Wilfrey and Central Casting, they didn't hire me because they would have had to go through me to get other disabled, so they didn't want to do that. They wanted to be in control. But we're coming for them because there is no statute of limitations on disability, and wrong is wrong. So, you know, this is not to fight them. This is to correct them.
Right.
You know, we're the organization that corrects you.
Right. Good. All right. So next segment here, moving in. ADA enforcement is collapsing and you're sounding the alarm. So with that, my actual question, that was a segment. My question is, the ADA was signed into law in 1990, the Americans with Disabilities Act, 1990. What you've said, its enforcement today is basically a hollow shell. So what's broken and who really is responsible, in your opinion?
Let me give an example. As a veteran, you know about the Fernando Gaud, we'll say it because I'm his advocate. Fernando Gaud, 83-year-old Army veteran, got caught up in a fiduciary because without any due process, after they were complained after he was being abused in a nursing home before I rescued him, then they decided after the fact to put a fiduciary without any kind of administrative or adjudication. That's illegal. You know that.
Right. Yeah.
They did it. So for the last 6 years, I've been fighting to remove that. So they put a fiduciary in place and failed to send. I fought 6 years for him to get, which only amounts to $2,300 a month, aid and attendance. For it's part of his pension for serving in 65 to 67. So these reckless fiduciary, Mary Howard Winter and Jose J. Rivera, were two of the people. They're only allowed to get 4%. Now, we do math, right? If you get $9,600, only $276 is what your fee is, and that's to manage it. He got a retroactive benefit of $42,000. He never received that till present day.
They should have got it on the first check.
Okay, so now it's February. That was given to him in February 23. 2 years.
That's how long it took for him to get a settlement. serving in Vietnam era to now?
It took me 5 years to win that.
Wow.
5 years to win. And the VA, some people, the Naples VA helped with that. I'm telling you, it's incredible. And others were saying because he had a little emotional stuff, they said that's from the service because he was receiving the bodies coming back from Vietnam. And he was, you know, receiving them and receiving that, blowing taps for them. That's thousands of bodies came back. That's very emotional when you're 21 years old. So, I mean, so after that, now these two lawyers, he got this. He sent them only $5,500. Do the math. That's not 4%. He stole the money. I said, I want him charged with it. That's grand larceny. Right. He was only supposed to take $200. He took $4,000. $276. He took $4,000
because they're a fiduciary and they have access.
Mentally ill.
The money goes to them, and
they get access to his.
I don't believe in a fiduciary.
Violating thing. His privacy rights. They violated his HIPAA. On top of it, so we filed the case, and the judge, dismissed it twice. But I appealed it. Now it's in the 11th Circuit, the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. Okay. Now, we filed a form of purpose because I'm not going to pay them the $700 fee. It's out of his benefit. I was his voice. They call it next friend and relative. Because he can't speak, I have the right to present it to the court. That's what an advocate is. And they didn't want to give me the 17C standing. So the judge was just arrogant. Oh, you can't sue the VA. Oh, yes, you can. Nobody's exempt from the ADA. They're blocking access to his aid and attendance. To care for him.
Right.
So that's just one incident. Now, how many veterans do we have like that? Do the math.
I know there's a lot with the fiduciary.
Imagine
it's a problem.
If Ann Fernando, 83-year-old, has gotten screwed and they're holding, like, we're talking $58,000 is still in their possession. Now, I got him released from the program. Our chief medical officer and his doctor said he doesn't belong here. He's able to manage his funds. He knows how to count. He's under the care of his loving family that help him with his other daily disability needs. But he understands. And so a manager said, okay, you're out of the program. He still didn't get August's check or the retro money. They released him.
But if they took
July
him off the fiduciary, it should go directly to him now. It would be direct deposit.
But he still didn't get the first month check. He didn't get the retroactive of $57,000. That they're in their possession.
That just disappeared.
That last caseworker is thinking she's going to get a fee. The last guy stole $4,000 when all he was entitled is to $276. I want to charge him with grand larceny. This is not a civil matter. This is a criminal matter.
Right.
You stole from an 83-year-old man.
Well, actually, you probably could make an argument for a federal case on it because the money came from the federal government.
It is a federal case.
Before it hit.
It is a federal case.
That's what I'm saying. And federally criminal, I mean, to the sense of that it's not just a regular larceny or a theft. You're talking about federal monies, and it was en route.
We sent it to the OIG.
It came from the VA.
We sent it to the OIG because
I think they should review it. Yeah.
Wow. Well, Darren,
we sent it to the OIG. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I have another question. You've battled the SSA, the VA. You've seen the internal dysfunction.
Yes.
When agencies fail to enforce Title II, what's the real world consequence for the disabled?
The consequence is they're left stranded with the benefit in Social Security. They paid for it. This is their tax dollars.
Right, we all pay for that.
This is what tax dollars look like when it's not working for you. That's what it looks like when it's not working for you. Homelessness comes out of it. They're stranded. They delay the process. Okay, how many people wait to it? I'm fighting a case now and a Social Security case for a woman that had a disability that goes back, but they couldn't find it in the medical. And recently the surgery confirmed that this was the condition. But now they're trying to stop the appeal on me. Mm-hmm. They're very bad. Another disabled child into an adult. The judge denied the SSI. I said, but I'm not hearing. I'm here for the Title II application. So they give me the emergency hearing, but they don't address the case that was brought. And she didn't get it. And she has it. She's entitled to it. The judge said she's disabled from this point, so they want to keep her on the SSI and not give her the debt benefit of her father that she's entitled to.
Wow.
This is where I'm at now. So with the ADA oversight, we oversee them. With the ADA oversight, the money that the DOJ takes when they sue somebody and sue that money goes into a general fund.
It should, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. To be used for these circumstances.
It's got to go into a disabled fund, or it should be turned back to Social Security for the disabled.
Right.
That's America's tax dollars. Bad actors in government cause these problems. The ADA Oversight Enforcement Division, Inc., will solve those problems for government. We're going to be the DOGE of disabled.
Nice.
We get to go in against Medicaid fraud, Medicare fraud, nursing home abuse, foster children abuse, natural disasters. We get to do everything targeted for the disabled that are impacted by the same natural disasters that able people can escape.
Right.
But disabled are bound.
Right. So they got their own disaster.
It's not only necessary, it's warranted under the law.
Right. Okay, moving into our next segment. So when catastrophe strikes, and we know it does, you know, we have looming storms continuously, and we seem to be more and more things happening. Disabled Americans are generally left behind, as we know. So when when catastrophe strikes, we see that they are left behind. So, you know, disabled people are left behind. And we know that there's more catastrophes continuously happening, storms, et cetera. But
especially
my question directly.
Florida.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Obviously, hurricane going on this week. So when a natural disaster hits or an active shooter situation unfolds, which there's one, that's another situation, right? Who's showing up for the disabled community? Because from what I've seen, the answer is nobody.
Nobody. How about the fires in California?
Or Hawaii.
Evacuating those hospitals.
Yeah. Right.
Evacuating places and homes where they're disabled. They're not ready. If the person is living and they're bedridden, yes, an ambulance can come and put them on a stretcher.
Yeah, but that's, I could say, as somebody who's done the EMS and fire, we have a bariatric, overweight person, or just a general person in their bed. You have two guys on the truck. There's two of us. You can't get them out of the
hoist for the ship.
You can only ship. You can only sheet lift. You can only sheet lift a certain amount of people. Two guys, and if it's a major fire, the area is flooding.
600-pound man or woman.
There's nobody there.
600-pound man or woman.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I created a hoist.
Yeah.
Well, I created things, and they're on the drafting. I mean, I didn't put them all out. I gave an idea, like the airboat. I showed a model with two stretchers and four wheelchairs. They don't have airboats that take anything. And they go, like, they fit three people. I made airboats that can evacuate people for floodings when hurricanes hit. I designed, this is a no-brainer. The sheriff, I know he's going to like part, and they're going to try and circumvent me. They might try to do that, and then I'll sue. And then I'll sue, because they're not going to make my idea make them look good.
Right.
They look bad for all these years. We're talking 30 years since the ADA, okay? 30 years, July 17th, 1990, okay? 36 years we're going on, 35 years of ADA, and it's failed. It's failed. Courts failed. Government has failed, and it took lives. With the ADA Oversight Enforcement Civil Division, that's not going to happen anymore, because our right to petition government gives us the same right to police them.
Right. Makes a lot of sense.
Really does.
You got something?
Yeah. And without Darren's team stepping in, the system seems constant to let them die quietly. What does the reveal about the way we treat the most vulnerable in this country?
Yeah, but it doesn't say it. Yeah, I don't even know what to say, because it's true. It's like a sad. Yeah, I mean, it's something you don't think about. You don't. I hate to say you don't think about the people in those situations when these fires hit.
You know,
or something flooding. Who's going to help them?
Yeah,
the average family is thinking, oh, they got to take care of that. Like, we're America. We know that, like, if they go and they're ready to evacuate, we get to the hospital, nobody thinks of the equipment. They say, oh, people are showing up, there's fire. How are they going to evacuate them?
They don't have enough equipment. Darren, you're right. You know, usually when disaster happens like this, the average people just think, oh, you know, they already know what they're doing. So, like,
Right.
You
yeah,
never
think of those. Get them. But
I mean, it's not the bariatric ambulances. Mm-hmm. I remember I'd go on a call and it was bariatric. And it would be a long time till we can get another unit to come out to transport because they were overweight and they didn't fit on a regular stretcher and in our truck.
Yeah. People assume that it's oversized.
I made oversized dual axle bigger ambulances to take 3 and 4 people up. Because if you got to evacuate a hospital on fire or a flood and you got to get them out, right? Well, first we have the airboats. The airboats get stretchers and wheelchairs, okay? Because if they're already transported in the hospital and they put them on the stretcher, we can load that on and get 2 there. And now we don't have just 1 airboat. So we make 67 of them, 1 in each county, okay? Because then you got the other. Then we have a disability patrol airboat, too. It's an airboat. And then we have the Liberty Guardian that I designed that can take 200 standing up disabled that are autistic or Down syndrome, or 100 in wheelchairs and stretchers. It reduces by half. And I designed the ship. I sent it to you.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer. It has a helicopter with an extended helicopter that can take 3 or 4 bodies, because basically they can only take 2. We're going to make it for 4, a bigger aircraft, because they exist. Making the service has to be there, necessary. This is necessary, and under the law, it's warranted.
Right.
So, and that's what I did. And Eric knows about it. I've been telling him about it because, as we move forward, he's going to be working with us on that in a legal capacity.
It's definitely something that's important. And that statement leads into my next segue, actually.
Okay.
This isn't a charity. It's civil rights. I mean, that kind of segues right in there. Mm-hmm. So you've said that this isn't about pity or charity. It's about your legal rights, which I said, the 14th Amendment, equal application.
Equal protection.
Right. Equal application and protection. So this is an important distinction. So why are people still treating access and accommodation like, hey, I did you a favor, when reality says, no, you didn't do me a favor. You did what I'm entitled to have. Same as the guy and girl next door.
But bad politics set that mood.
Right.
So that you don't see they're not doing anything. That's why.
Right.
And that's why they've tried to compromise some laws by saying, like, well, with proper policing, like service dogs, I started the service dog and stopped a lot of those fake ones, because as an advocate, as a person who helped write the ADA, talking with congressmen early with Reagan, okay, starting the first homebound services in New York for qualified individuals. The language, when Congress wrote it, it intended, because no Congress member was disabled when it was written. It was the voice of disabled and other voices of able trying to comprehend what only the disabled person knows. So Congress, with a broad view, tried to do better. So it's the intention of what Congress said. Congress wanted us to have fair treatment of whatever it would take to do that. And how did it do that? How does it restore independence? By accommodation. Whatever is warranted, because here's what it is. Okay?
Well, the key word is it has to be reasonable.
Reasonable accommodation. Reasonable
accommodation.
Is,
that's the legal framework.
Well, depending.
Especially when you're dealing with private entities. Like a business has to reasonably accommodate entrance for a handicapped person. They have to make
what the ADA was intended to do, and this hasn't been argued by lawyers. It's been argued by me. And judges don't like me, and some lawyers don't, but some guys love me, because it's restoring independence by way of accommodation. Now, if a guy, it's not about ramps and elevators, okay? Because, I fought with DOJ to put dyslexia in the book, and it's underlined and in bold print. It was just on the mental effect 25 years ago, okay? And I said no, because they started a foundation, and now there's an institute, because I'm processing dyslexic, I had everything. I had rheumatic fever that was all that resulted in open heart surgery that saved my life. I had 6 weeks to live. I mean, I was only not only put here by God to keep doing this work, okay? But this is my calling, because you have to have a true understanding. People that ruin it are the fakers, but it shouldn't. So with an oversight, a true oversight, okay, Donald Trump had to put an oversight for their spending. Now imagine what else we find with the disabled, how they got screwed.
Right? Oh, wow.
This division will be that. We are that. Now, if Donald gets this, he wants us because he needs us. Because, and also disabled will work in this. There'll be a volunteer portion to it as well for community service. Okay? Well, you'll have the free help, but you got to have trained and employees, because it's got to be a rapid response center. You're talking about 175 million. The number's growing every day, every single day.
Darren,
so,
I have another question for you.
Especially if they're infants. Yes.
Okay. And for those in power, federal and state or local, what's your message to the policymakers who are asleep at the wheel while lives hang in the balance?
Well, I got two messages for them. I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you, long overdue. You got away with it for 35 years and made minimal changes. They are not listening to the voice of the voiceless because they're voiceless. They pick and choose which advocate they're going to listen to. And because mine is the model name, it incorporates America's heroes and Americans, period. Right. So, you know, they know. And some people are afraid. Senators are starting to help now. Rick Scott, you know, Byron Donalds, they're helping. But here's what happens. They accept the response of the liar because it's another government entity. With our entity, we're overseeing. That's what President Trump did with DOGE. We're doing this for the disabled. We don't only, we have a right and a duty to do it under our Constitution. Right. So as long as they don't change that, then we're going to do what we do. And we're going to change this across the board with rapid response investigations. We're going to cut back on the fraud, Medicare and Medicaid, because we're going to have to investigate. Regular people, you know, they have Medicare fraud investigators. But we're investigating the disabled, that the double billing, making unnecessary treatments, home care, how they're scamming it. We're going to investigate, okay? But we're also going to preserve the rights and the integrity. We're going to be a special policing force for America's vulnerable. Once heroes, now vulnerable. Some of them are from service to country. Don't they deserve that?
Right.
This is the United States of America.
You wore the uniform
they
of this country.
Deserve it. Our veterans deserve it. Our fallen heroes, families deserve it. Okay? How many cops, their children have autism, and they got to struggle and be cop and dad and help get the services. So we're going to change that. We're going to change when police officers die from PTSD. We're not going to ask them. We're not asking. Let us not be confused here. We're not asking government, hey, give us a hand up. We're taking a hand up, and we're doing it. We're not asking.
I ask them to do what they're supposed to do. That's what you ask. So, Darren, I thank you
tell
for
them.
Coming
we're
on the show
tell
today.
Them. We're not
for
asking.
Coming to a hard close. I want to give you 30 seconds to end out the segment, and then we're going to go back to the camera, back to us. But tell everybody how they can reach you, how they can help. You got 30 seconds. Thank you again. Go for it.
Okay. You can contact the website if you got a story you want to tell, or you could send a message to Eric here. Eric is getting ready to be part of this. You can go to www.adaadvocates.org. And you could leave a message there. We got a new team that joined up with us. If you have an autistic child and you're struggling with the services, we're fighting New York City right now for 70,000 disabled autistic children that have fallen in the cracks. And we have ponies, miniature ponies, a team joined up with us, miniature ponies in Florida, that we're going to try and bring it through the nation so your autistic child can have service to a pony that will ease them and does a whole bunch of things. So you can reach us there. You can find me on Instagram at @TheReal_DarrenAquino. Follow, share your story. Tell your story so we can help you. I can't help you if you don't tell me. I can't be your voice unless you call me. So thank you for having me here, Eric. Thank you, guys.
Yep.
It's nice to be here to share.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for coming.
We'll chat after. Thank you for being here. We'll chat. And again, I thank you very much for all that you do. And we'll talk moving forward. Well, folks, we've reached almost the conclusion of another wonderful episode of the Hostile Zone.
Yeah.
But I would be remiss if I didn't say, you know, disabled Americans don't need another press release. They're not looking for a press release. They're not looking for any of that. They're looking for action. They need a plan. Darren has a plan. I like his plan. There's many other people that want to help with that plan. But they need the presence. They need somebody like Darren to be the voice, to speak for those that cannot speak, to speak for those that want to speak that just can't, or for those that are afraid to speak. We need a plan. Has to have a plan. And they need it to be done now, not tomorrow. It needed to be done yesterday. It needs to be done before the next national crisis, national disaster, because the death toll cannot keep rising. Bianca?
Right. Darren is building the infrastructure's government refuses to, and he's doing it not as a politician, right, but as a survivor and an advocate and a soldier for civil rights.
Very true. Mm-hmm. He really is. He's trying to really help everybody understand that there is, government is a safety net, and everybody deserves that safety equally and fairly. This isn't just about awareness. It's about enforcement of those violations, not just being unaware, but actually violating people's rights, or if you're in office, allowing somebody to violate somebody's rights or to do something like that. So ADA is not just something that was signed back in 1990. It is an actionable statute under federal law, and therefore certain services are meant to be in place, and those that violate them need to be, be prosecuted or reprimanded or whatever.
Yeah, when the system fails, Darren steps in. That's not politics. That's moral clarity.
Moral clarity is key. And with that, it's the call to the action. I thank you for coming out to the Hostile Zone. Eric A. Sinati and Miss Bianca C. Like the Ocean. As always, 180 degrees forward, 180 behind you, 365 times a year. So that's 180 forward, 180, 360 times 365, because danger doesn't take a break and it doesn't take a night off every day of the week. So stand up, don't be silent, and build somebody. Don't break them down. Remember, it could be you that is requiring assistance one day. I thank you again for coming to the Hostile Zone. Stay alert and stay armed with the truth. And remember, keep your head on a swivel, because danger is not taking its day off. We're going to close with our historical quote of the day. You get it up here. The moral test of government is how it treats those who are in the dawn of light, the twilight of life, and the shadows of life. That is a great one. The moral test of a government is how it treats the dawn of life, the twilight of life, and the shadows of life. Basically, what that means, the dawn of life, when you're born, pre-born, born, pregnancy, how it treats when you're older, and the shadows of life, those that can't speak. How does the government treat them? That quote comes from Hubert H. Humphrey. So stay sharp, folks, and we will be back at the Hostile Zone before you even blink an eye. Thank you for coming to Hostile Zone. And Bianca, signing off, anything?
Well, thank you for having us here, and thank you for staying tuned. And we appreciate every time you're here with us.
We do. We do. We'll catch you on the next one. Eric A. Sinati, God Bless America, signing out.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the balls bursting out,
she's not going anywhere.
Oh, say does that star spangle that I wear? Oh,